I came here with $20.
Whoa. I had $800 when
well,
I came.
I'm sorry.
So I was doing way better than you.
Yes.
Thank God.
You know, quite a few people saying, oh, you're so lucky that you can afford to do that. Well, to tell you the truth, I started saying that I can't afford to go back to work because I have to pay the same amount of money for someone to stay with my kid. I'm making a difference. So if I'm going to bring clothes, they're not going to be made in China. They're actually, you know, fair trade done, and they're organic, and because these women care about their product.
Welcome to the Mother Honestly podcast. This is your host, Blessing Adesio, founder and CEO of Mother Honestly. On this show, we interview ambitious women that are thriving in and beyond motherhood. Expect honest and real conversations that will encourage and inspire you to take actions on your dreams. Welcome to the Mother Honestly podcast. Today, I have with me Corina Baldwin, the CEO of Little High Flyers. It's a children's boutique, Midtown Detroit. Corina, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us today. So, Corina, I know that you, you know, you're in downtown Detroit, or is it Midtown?
Midtown.
Midtown Detroit. I just said that. Why am I saying downtown?
And, hashtag Midtown Detroit.
Hashtag. Oh my God, social media. But thanks for joining us. And
pleasure.
Can you share with us, you know, who you are, your journey, and your very first job?
We're gonna talk about mental health again. Like I just said, I feel like everybody comes here and talks about having some sort of breakdown.
Maybe
and then
because
creating
we all
a
do.
Business or
maybe because we all do.
Well, we do. So I came here from Romania just about 15 years ago, and so we have that in common. I came here with $20.
Whoa. I had $800 when
well,
I came.
I'm sorry.
So I was doing way better than you.
Yes.
Thank God. Makes me feel really better.
I came to become a therapist because I was there for a psychology major, and I loved it, and I was doing really well, but I didn't really feel like Romania was having at the time a place for that and many options. And I am a graduate of U of M School of Social Work in therapy and as a clinical social worker in interpersonal therapy. And I have worked as a crisis therapist for a while. And that's where I was, you know, inpatient, outpatient, residential. And that's where I was when I had my second. My first daughter was with me throughout my undergrad and grad school and my jobs and, you know, midnight jobs and all of that. So, she's going to go far in life.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
She is like that. I think it has a lot to do with her personality, obviously, but I like to believe that she also turned out like this because I was always doing something.
I was always dragging because I had my daughter, in college, and I'm always dragging her everywhere. Like, literally, we would go to Society of Women Engineers conference together. We would, you know, fly to Europe together for a business meeting. I mean, we went everywhere together. And so the poor girl now, she's always like, oh, Mom, you know, why are we not traveling anymore? And you know, I would like to see if there's any way I can do a study abroad in X, Y, and Z country. I'm like, no, you don't. And she's like, well, I was doing that when I was two.
Why not?
Can't I do it now? I'm 9 years old. And I'm like, no, girlfriend.
Oh, she wants to do it now?
Yeah, she wants to go to a study abroad in Australia. I said, no, it's not happening.
I think that's how they're much alike. So, yeah, but then when I think when I had my second, I decided, well, it was really that I was forced to, I felt, because my job at the time was really a lot of time. I was on call at nighttime, and it really took me a month to really seriously think if I can do it, if I want to do it, if I want to just be gone from home. And my second was a little bit different. He's much more demanding of me, I think, than my daughter was. So I knew that if I'm just going to be gone for, you know, 10 hours at least a day and then on call at nighttime, I just, something's got to give because I can't do both. You know, I can't do like the both.
Correct.
And so I decided to
You were
to
struggling
stay home.
With this, you know, can I can't possibly absolutely. Keep up with my career.
I couldn't really go back. And I know I had a lot of people, I had, you know, quite a few people saying, oh, you're so lucky that you can afford to do that. Well, to tell you the truth, I started saying that I can't afford to go back to work because I have to pay the same amount of money for someone to stay with my kid. And that's not what my kid wants, because he was, like I said, much more, like my son is still now, like my son came into my bed last night and he's three. So, like, you know, nobody would have been on, you know, winning anything, because I love the job and I really, you know, I cried not going back and I really miss it. And I feel like everything in life is for a reason. So I really love the path I'm on right now. So absolutely. I think that's where it was meant to be. But at the same time, I've always, like, I had a professor walking into my hut the other day and, you know, that I knew, and it's just, it's so tempting. He started talking about, you know, some research project, and it's like, I want to be doing that. But in the same time, it was just not feasible at the time.
Absolutely.
So I said, I'm just going to stay home for a year. You know, I gave myself a year. I thought he's going to be really independent after a year.
Nice try, though.
Yeah. So, and that's how I just ended up switching careers. And I was thinking a lot about my family, because I did a lot with my daughter. And like you were saying, you know, but at the same time, in the back of my head, I was always feeling kind of guilty. I was feeling really proud, but then you have so many mixed emotions. And with her, I also was very flexible in a way, because going to a class and then coming back, or, you know, going to afternoon when she would be with my husband, you know, it's different than knowing that I'm going to be now at this crisis place for 10 hours and
absolutely.
Nobody was also available for him in the morning. So, you know, I think the decision ultimately was that I have sacrificed enough in terms of time from the family, and I just wanted to.
To reclaim
your
time.
Well, what I thought at the time is just stay home with, you know, both of them for a whole year at least.
Correct.
That's what I thought I'm going to be doing.
So a lot of women struggle with this because, you know, they're walking in a career and they then look at the cost of childcare, right? And they say, look, it's not matching up. You know, I'm barely getting anything, you know, bring anything back home once I deduct the cost of childcare. So then it's, you know, do I go back to the drawing board?
A lot of women do that.
Exactly.
I think that's sad, because a lot of women, you know, would be saying that. And then I would think, well, if you're really just getting a little bit extra left, but I think you're doing it because you love the job. I mean, you must just love the job.
Correct. And so is that where, you know, for women or for moms, then to look at what is the cost benefit of remaining in this job, or is there anything else I can do? Because I think that one of the things that we talk a lot about here at Mother Honestly is, you know, how can you redefine work so that you're still kind of doing what you love to do, but maybe at your own pace and in your own time. And I love exactly what you did, which is starting something completely different. Maybe also looking at, you know, is there any way, because I can hear from your kind of, you were saying something about another professor, and I can hear that you do miss the work. And
yes,
so is it, you know, maybe starting a consulting business that is, you
that's
know,
my next gig.
You know what I mean?
Once the kids are earlier.
Exactly. So is it starting a consulting business, because you do
I'll be taking clients 5 years from now.
5 years from now. let's hope. So again, challenging women, moms, to think outside of the box and not just,
absolutely,
you know, say, oh, you know, because work is no longer, I go to work and I show up and you're there and you're constantly working. And you bet, like, when I'm at work, I sometimes don't have time to even look at my phone. And not to talk about, you know, you don't have time to check on the kids. You don't have time to, you know, check on the husband. And so then it's even more crucial or essential for mothers to find other avenues, especially if the finances are not matching up.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, like, I know if I'll go back to work, I won't be able to breastfeed. Because, and that was important for me. So I think it's just, you have so many things to take into account. Because I know what the reality was during a day and what I had to do. And I just couldn't imagine myself, you know, having the time and the structure and the, because when I was there, it was on and it was just, you know, for hours on it. And I loved it again. And I loved the people I worked with. But But then it's always like head to head. I mean, at the time, it was just head to head with so many other things that I still wanted to do for the new baby and, you know, for the first, you know, child and for the whole family. Because my husband had to do a lot of stepping in, obviously, when I was gone in the afternoons or, you know, midnights.
Correct.
I know I was working midnights at some point in a hospital, and he told me I didn't work midnights for very long because he just told me I'm not very nice after I pulled in a lot of midnights.
I can imagine that.
So it's just everybody. You just have to always put, you know, draw a line and say, well, and, you know, I wasn't happy about it. You know, I wasn't happy that I'm not going back. But,
correct.
And that gives you mixed feelings, but it's like, does it make more sense? You really have to be very rational about it.
So was your career progressing, or did you feel like it
yes.
wasn't? Okay,
yes.
So it was progressing.
That's why it's so sad. I mean, it's so, it's not sad, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, I did not want to leave, you know, the company. Yes, I wasn't out, of my master's for too long before I was actually running the crisis residential.
Correct.
You know, so the ladies I worked with really trusted me to do that, and I feel like that would, you know, I've always had jobs that I feel like people took a chance on me, because when I started mental health, nobody really had. I was here just for a few years, and
right.
I was so young, and everybody else was in the business, like in the inpatients that I worked with for like 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
So I was always like the young girl, the new girl. But then they all, you know, they all see what you're about, and
correct, and to see that you
have learned
to do
a lot
work.
From everybody I worked with. But yeah, I think that I'm very happy I took that decision, you know, a few years later. But you're always mixed, I think, as
absolutely.
A mother and as a woman, because it's like two, and it's two of my identities.
Correct.
You know, if I, the social worker Karina is never going to be happy about that at the moment. But I am very happy that I just took this time for my family, and then that I opened Little High Flyers.
Yes, so let's talk about Little High Flyers. So when you made that transition from work to Little High Flyers, how did that come about? And did you, I mean, because a lot of women are scared, right, to kind of
yes.
leave that job and stay home and create space for motherhood while they're figuring out their next move. So how did you figure out your next move? And what kind of processes did you put in place from a financial standpoint, from, you know, even an identity standpoint? Because one of the things that we see is, you know, women that are creating space for motherhood sort of, again, start having some kind of identity crisis because they feel like, oh, you know, I no longer work, I no longer do X, Y, and Z. And I tell people, there is no shame in this game, guys. Like, if you are creating space for motherhood, what a blessing.
Yep.
What a blessing. Because not a lot of people are able to actually do that. Mm-hmm. So again, seeing, you know, kind of seeing the positive in the entire situation and thinking about how do you nurture your goals and your ambitions while you're staying home. So what was your experience like that first year, and how did you start Little High Flyers?
Yeah, I didn't stay home a year.
Okay, good. I want to hear that.
Because I think, you know, to your point, you really just have to do whatever works for you at the time. So I thought I'm going to be a, you know, what it's called, stay-at-home mom, but which is the wrong term, but
I used to call it stay-at-home mom.
Yeah, you know, I for the time I thought I'm going to be doing it, and then 4 months later, you know, I just started having this thought. So it's really just going with the ideas that you're having. I think if I think too much about, then you start letting the anxiety come in, because that's really what it is, like the limitations and the what this, and then you're never going to do it. So I think it's just really being in tune with your feelings, because, like I said, I went in a vacation in Sicily and UK, and then I came back with a business plan. So really, it's really, I wasn't just, like I said, I thought I'm going to be home. And then I think that month after month, literally when we went in this vacation, it was 5 months, I started thinking, because I think I had a time to like interact with people and pause and think about it. And I remember being in, you know, in UK and having this idea that counting and thinking, oh my God, has it been like 5 months? Because I literally just feel like we're still adjusting. I mean, I was still waiting for something to start happening,
correct.
Like different
yeah.
than me just sitting, you know, with the baby and
mm-hmm.
enjoying him. And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is it. I think I'm just you know, you're waking up and you do the cleaning because then you're home and you see everything and I'm like exhausted. And
by
you know,
the time the husband walks in, probably.
Oh,
like,
and even
I'm
with
done.
The baby, I was always just feeling like, oh, you know, I'm so tired. You know, I'm tired all the time. And I mean, and that's what it is. And it's really a lot to, you know, for mothers to do this for a long time. I think that after certain months and being in this vacation, I started just feeling that other identity coming in, like, okay, I need to be doing something else as well. Can we just do something else as well, Ziggy?
Hi there, it's Blessing, founder and CEO of Mother Honestly. I want to specifically invite you to a wonderful event we have coming up in the Detroit area, celebrating Women's International Month. It's called Women on the Rise, Negotiating Your Seat at the Table on March 9th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. downtown Detroit at Tech Town. This event is sponsored by Chemical Bank, Butte Institute, Bamboo Detroit, and Tech Town Detroit, and many others. The focus of this event is to address your needs as a modern mother who wants to advance in a career, develop a network that can level you up in all areas of your life. So join us for a wonderful gathering of like-minded women who are trailblazers and change makers within our community. There'll be lots of shopping, sipping and strolling. We have a fireside chat. We have pop-ups by local female founders. And we also have childcare, which is amazing. It's sponsored by our partners, Golden Touch Concierge, and it's going to be at no cost. We also have free parking. So I definitely want to see you there on March 9th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
So what were you feeling in those moments? Because I think that women don't talk about that a lot, is, you know, when you're creating space for motherhood and you suddenly feel the weight of, like, everything, the household duties, the chores, oh. The cleaning, the cooking, the, you know, checking on the appointments and schedules and picking up and dropping off. Like, was that, like, how were you feeling in those moments? Did you feel like, oh, my God, this is not what I expected. Definitely not working out for me. Or were you just like, oh, is this it? Not for me.
Yeah, I feel like I enjoyed it for a while and you know, just really being present there. But I feel like that's about the time when I started feeling a little bit unproductive. And it's not for everyone, but I feel it's really you have to follow what your personality is and
Correct.
What you're feeling inside. And if this is for you for years, I have best friends that have been home with all the three kids and, you know, in Europe. And I think they're really done for that. They're made for that and they're happy. And, you know, that's, I appreciate that. But the moment I started, you know, questioning is, like I said, when I started, it's really surrounding myself with other people, too. Like I said, when I was in England, I met one of our best friends that has three kids, but she's also running a business with her husband, you know, of their home. And I'm thinking,
oh, I can do this.
That is, yeah, I was like, that. It's just attractive. You know,
Correct.
You start having this, like, light bulbs thinking, like, oh, yeah, it's been already 5 months. Like, what am I going to do? You know, like,
Correct.
Oh, you know.
I need to be doing something.
Yeah, it's been, you know, so if you have that in you, then you know that maybe you just need something more. You know, you just need something else for now. So it's just really following what is best for you and your family. And then I started meeting, because that's how this all started happening. I met a lady that was doing this hats, which is our little pilot hats that we still have. You know, we always bring it from her. And she was a mother of a child that, you know, had an issue, so to speak. You know, she wanted more, you know, thick woolly hats, and she couldn't find any. And this woman is working in broadcasting, but also started doing this business on the side. And I met her in a market in East London. And, you know, I was chatting with her, and I bought a bunch of hats. But it's just like one woman after the other, like I said, my friend, and which, you know, was just like running that with three kids, very chill. And this lady was just doing this business on a side, you know, on the side of her own job. And
Correct.
Just because she came up with an idea, just solving an issue that she had, right? And making money out of it. So for me, I think I just came back thinking, I feel inspired. I just, you know, had an idea to bring her hats, because that's how the business started. I said, I'm just going to bring this and do pop-ups, because this way, you know, I can still be, you know, with the family, but I want to bring her products because I really liked, you know, her hats, and I just liked supporting her. I think it was a lot about being empowered by women and inspired
yeah.
and just wanting to support her. And then if you're open to that, I think everything that happened in that summer, it was just coming into my life. You know, it just happens, because then you meet this my friend Lee from Busted, that she goes to the same school with me, and she starts talking, oh, you should, you know, yeah, you should actually open a store because because we need one in Detroit. So I feel like everything starts lining up and you just have to go. But that's what I was saying, that I could, you know, start thinking about, well, yeah, but I want to go back to my own job and I want to do this. But I think that I really just did it. Because from the pop-ups, you know, we love Midtown and we love Detroit and we live there. So I started thinking, well, but I can actually bring so many other products from different women around the world. And why would I just do the one product at a pop-ups? And I can actually be in Midtown. Yeah. So, you know,
you saw
I just
a problem
kind of
or
like.
Or a need, and you decided that you were going to feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. And we loved it. We've been there for 2 years. And it's been such a journey. So I started taking my son to all this. This allow me to, you know, I can take him to a therapy job, but I opened my store basically with my son. I mean, my daughter is much older, so she's in school. But for him, he's never really gone to full-time daycare till this year. But I did take him to shows in Paris and London and New York.
So you went around with you to purchase all of those things. So Little Eye Flyer basically brings in clothes, sustainable clothing from around the world to Detroit.
From women-owned businesses.
I love that.
So I go and I go to this meetings, I was going to say, but they're really shows. But I really spend so much time just talking to, it's not about the product for me, it was about talking to this women. And I am in touch with, you know, in direct contact with a lot of this, with my main brands, obviously. You know, we talk on the phone sometimes. So for me, that's like, I mean, we talk about even other things, right?
Motherhood, just, life.
Well, I mean, just about the business, you know. Yeah. I think it's a more genuine relationship than I would have expected when you just buy something from someone. Correct. You know, it's not like that. I will talk, like, one of my main items, the moccasins too. It's like I talk to this lady. I know where she's at. You know, at the time I'm saying, I know she moved to Spain this year for like we actually have a relationship. And that's really inspiring for me. And I think that somehow fed my social work identity because I needed to find meaning, you know, into the business. I needed to know that I'm making a difference. So if I'm going to bring clothes, they're not going to be made in China. They're actually, you know, fair trade. Done and they're organic, and because this women care about their products, you know. So I find very small brands that a lot of them are not in the U.S. and now 2 years later they're starting to be maybe in different places. But so I think that's kind of how I found the meaning to be driven to do this. For
correct. So what kind of brands do you carry at Little High Flyers?
The only probably the American ones would people know about. Like I know you like Finn and Emma.
I love Finn and Emma.
And I have other American, but they're usually very small, so people would not hear about it except from me. So I have a lady that I bring from talking about American from here that does you know organic cotton, but also bamboo. She's expanded to. Her name is Emily, and again, you know the relationship. I chatted with her lots of times about, you know, like, how does she do this or how does she do that? And she started a business creating clothes that would go against the gender stereotypical norms that are in clothing now. I know. And that's, and I was like bragging so much about that at the beginning because that's, it is something that I bring in there. More neutral, you know, and I just went with like, well, it's gender neutral. But basically, I really want to support businesses that go against that too.
Correct.
I feel like we're moving more into that direction
as a company.
We've always been from the beginning, but just as a whole society, because a lot of the times people will walk in and ask, where is the, you know, the pink stuff?
And exactly. I was saying my daughter actually doesn't like pink, so she doesn't. If you buy her pink stuff, she doesn't wear them. I don't think it's like she hates pink.
That happened with my daughter
but
too.
But she's just like, you know, I'm done. Like there's just too much pink everywhere. Like this is not who I am. And so she resonates with other colors. So we don't buy her pink stuff. Long story short. But I think that as a society, more even the kids are starting to realize that no, it's not about like. Pink is not like my son wears pink, you know, like because I didn't know what I was having, so I bought pink clothes and blue clothes and green clothes and, you know, just about any color that I love. It's just a matter of you know what I love. And So now you come to my house and literally my son is crawling in a pink, you know, bodysuit, and I love it. And so my husband was like, oh, what's happening here? Like, I said, hey, you know, we are a gender neutral family.
Thank you for joining us on the Mother Honestly podcast. This is Kristen Baffel, your podcast manager. And if you enjoyed this programming and you seek more and want to level up with like-minded mothers, join us at the Mother Honestly community for only $99 a year. That gives you full access to our monthly coaching groups, our Mother the Summit, you have first access, and 15% off all Mother Honestly events. This is a limited time offer for $99 a year.
So Karina, I mean, so obviously Little Flyers has been around for a while, and I think that, you know, you're finding much success. I think you were listed as best hour, you won an
best
award.
Children's clothing for, 2018 by
Our Detroit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a great accomplishment. Congratulations
Thank
on that.
You.
So what's next for you guys? I mean, how do you see yourself growing the business, and what advice do you have for women that are struggling to kind of find meaning and find purpose in their day-to-day right now? Maybe they're trying to leave their job, or they're trying to, start something small. What key steps can you recommend that these women take to find meaning and also, again, find a financially viable, endeavor for themselves?
Yeah. Obviously, to your first part, we are going in. I would like to see a different location very soon. We are in Capitol Park this season, and it's been great for us.
Is that a pop-up?
Yeah, okay. it's a Perfect. Pop-up for till the January 13th. So you can find us there in right across from Prime and Proper and the nail salon, your friend.
I'm
right by
Detroit.
Her. Yes,
I love her.
And so I really enjoy that. It's been harder. It's like having two locations. So just in terms of
logistics,
and yeah. But in the same time, you really have like two different places to access and to be known, and people love it down there in Capitol Park. We had a lot of traffic. So I would really like
to
see
that.
Yeah, I really just like to see maybe even having pop-ups constantly, you know, more outreaching in different places. Because talk about Midtown and Downtown, I think it's been very different population than what we have, my usual clients are. I mean, they're just from all over the country here,
Correct.
Down here, and they're here for the holidays or they're here for work. And so I would like to do that, and I think I really just have to expand into, you know, hiring different people for different things,
Correct.
Like you said, because I've just been doing a lot on my own, and that's not really
it's not
viable,
sustainable.
No.
Yeah.
And but in the same, on your other point, I feel like it is hard to just plan for all of this if you want to go and open a business. And like I said, I really believe in just doing it, but in the same time, you have to have, I had the support of my husband, you know, and I had the in the back of my head, I knew that I have a degree that I could always go back to. So there are some, you do have to take risks though, ultimately, because I knew I'm not going to, you know, have an income for, and that's just what's going to be. So it's not all, it's hard work, but it's, I know it's all worth it in the grand scheme of things. But you do need to have a support system. And I do tend to, you know, my husband is very positive, and I have a lot of friends that are just, so I know that that kind of fuels me. Like my husband has his own business, and I think he has been mind-wise, you know, support for this, because he's just,
because
he just kind of
there.
Goes.
Correct.
Yeah, and he just kind of expects the best from his business, and he just does it. And I feel like seeing that for the last 10 years, 13 years. Well, no, I'm not sure. I think it's 12 years.
So there are
he
perks
had the business.
To be married to an entrepreneur.
Yes. It just gets to you at some point.
Correct. You eventually catch the bug. My husband is like, oh, maybe now I can start X, Y, and Z. I'm like, wait, you know, we're supposed to be career people. And he's like, well, you started Mother Honestly.
Yes.
So I can also start X, Y, and Z. So
yeah, and it's really like a bug, because now I just can't imagine. It's just so addictive.
Correct.
I want to, like I said, like I mentioned at the beginning, if I do know that I'm going to go back to therapy, but I'll probably just have my own business, where before I've always had that sort of in the back of my head, but I would have probably been, it was just so overwhelming thought to just open your own therapy
business.
Yeah,
I think women usually think that it's a lot of work to start your own business or your own consulting business. I don't think so. I think you can, you know, start small and, you know, grow and heads down, do the work, get all the contacts, get the relationships. And
yeah, and you've been great at that. I think you're like a role model for I'm just like, I need to work more smarter. Like,
literally, I'm all about, you know, just getting out there and doing the work. I mean, doing the work, but also thinking about how that aligns, right, with your role as a mother and not sacrificing that. But again, just being very smart about your relationships and your network and drilling down on who do I want to surround myself with.
That's doing it smarter. I feel like I only had that mentality in the second year. I really just crashed after the first year because I think like I was doing everything by myself and just working too hard, so to speak. I think you just have to work smarter at some, you know, and I think I'm happy that it happened very quickly into my business. And I feel like I've been just doing different things, just things differently this year.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Karina, for coming.
Thank you so much
really
for
appreciate
me.
It. I think definitely a lot of people will enjoy some of your perspectives around, you know, staying home or not staying home and, you know, trying to find meaning and purpose. Really appreciate that.
Yeah,
and
you just have to try it all otherwise.
And have a wonderful, wonderful holiday.
Thank you. You too. Bless.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mama, for joining us on the Mother Honestly podcast. I am your show manager, Kristen Baffo, asking that you please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. And for more resources, visit us at motherhonestly.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram.